read a verse in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, become a woman, come under law, that he might redeem those under law, that we might receive sonship. This week, we are very aware of the passing of a man who was spoken well of, and in many ways did much to bring in certain stability in Africa. God has his ways with men, and in his ordering and his ways provides what is needed for the benefit of men, mankind. It says in Psalm 18 that as for God, his ways are perfect, and they are indeed perfect. But I want to speak tonight not of Nelson Mandela, I want to speak to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And where we read in Galatians, the writer there tells us that when the fullness of time was come, it was just that moment when God in his infinite grace and mercy had overruled everything so that the right, you might say, the right conditions were there for his beloved Son to come here into this scene. Things have moved in the course of history. As we would know that the powers of Rome were in control of that area. Most of that area of the world previously was settled by Alexander the Great. And the Greek language was well known, but everything was in God's ways and God's ordering. The time was absolutely perfect and absolutely right. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. And that's the great news in the glad tidings. It's the news which occupies many at this time of the year in relation to the incoming of the Saviour, the incoming of Christ. And it's a wonderful consideration, friend, to take account of the fact that God has sent his Son. We sang once from glory's height descending to this earth the Saviour came. It was just at the right moment in the history of this world which God intervened, which your need and mine could be met. We'll refer in a moment to three persons in the New Testament who had a need and found it. And that need was met by the Saviour while he was here. But that same beloved Saviour of our Lord Jesus Christ is available to you tonight, my friend. He's able to meet your need. And what is that need? Well, first and foremost, it's a question of your need before God as a sinner. And mine. Scripture tells me clearly that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wonderful thing is, that there's an answer. Not that you can do anything. The work has been done, friend. The Son, that on the cross his blood was shed. That's my Saviour. The one that I will proclaim to you tonight as the only Saviour of sinners. There's no other way. It's been rightly said on the basis of Scripture that there's only one way of salvation. It says quite clearly that no one comes to the Father except by me. The Lord Jesus, the words of the Lord Jesus himself were here. That's the way of salvation. It's God's way. God's way is perfect. So that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Come of woman, come under law, that he might redeem those under law and might receive sonship. Wonderful thing that God intervened in the course of the history of this world to bring about a way of redemption. That you and I, who got away from God, could be brought back. When you redeem something, you bring it back. You buy it back. Redeem those under law. I know that's a reference to the Jew, but then the Lord Jesus has to tell them, some who asked, that they were in bondage. They said they never were in bondage. He says, well, they're in bondage. We're sons of Abraham, but he says, you're in bondage to sin. Yes, and that's where every one of us comes in. We find, if we look at one person in Mark, we find a leper. Chapter 1 of Mark, came to the leper, beseeching him, falling on his knees to him, saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst cleanse me. There was a man with a need. And you and I have a need, friend. Need of a saviour. This man had a physical need. Physical need of leprosy. I'm reminded recently, it's a complaint which puts you outside of normal life of any sort in those days. Leper lived outside the village, outside the city, whatever it may have been where he lived. He had to live outside. You find that very interesting reference in 2 Kings, where there was four lepers outside the city. And the city has been besieged. The word of the prophet came to the king that the next day there was going to be food available. The price of it was going to go down. Everything has become extremely difficult and almost impossible to live. But those four leprous men, they thought, well, they were in a very dire condition. They were leprous, yes, but they hadn't any food. And they said, well, if we go into the city, we shall die there. And if we go into the camp of the Syrians, they might kill us and we'll die there. But either way, if we stand still and do nothing, it won't be any help. And they went into the camp of the Assyrians and they found that God had acted. And the Assyrians had heard a sound and they'd gone and they'd left everything. And they entered in and they found all sorts of things and food and everything. And after a little while they came to it that they weren't doing what was right. It's a day of good tidings, they said, and we hold our peace. Today is a day of good tidings. And they went back to the city and they cried out and announced what they had found. And the saying of the prophet came about. There was one man who didn't believe the prophet. He said these things couldn't be so. Even if the windows of heaven was opened, it couldn't happen. He despised the word of the prophet. And it was said that he would die, he would be trampled. And he was trampled under the feet of the people and he died. Friend, don't be unbelieving, but believing. Believe the word of God, and you find this man here. I know I strayed away a little from it about lepers. This man had a need, and he knew what it was. And he says to the Lord Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst cleanse me. Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and says, I will be thou cleansed. You know, the Lord Jesus was the only person that could have touched a leper to cleanse him. If you and I had touched a leper, we would have got leprosy as a result of touch, because that's how it was passed on. The Lord Jesus was able to touch the leper. He says, I will be thou cleansed. As he spoke straightway, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. What a result. You know, the glad tidings has a wonderful, I use the word very carefully, instant result. Conversion is not a long, drawn-out process of probation. This man is an example to us of one who was converted in that sense. Be thou cleansed, and his straightway his leprosy left him. He was left without any leprosy, and he was cleansed. In Luke 7, we find a woman who was a sinner, and she knew she was a sinner. I wonder if you do, friend. Scripture tells me all have sinned, we said, come short of the glory of God. None of us are left out, none of us can be left out. This woman knew that she was a sinner. Even Simon, the Pharisee, in whose house it took place, knew she was a sinner. He says in himself, if this man, referring to the Lord Jesus, knew what this woman was, that she was a sinner, what did he say? This person, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what this woman is who touches him, for she is a sinner. But more than that, friend, she knew she was a sinner. She knew how where to come to meet the Saviour. She knew she had a need and she knew one who could meet it. And I commend you tonight, friend, to the one who can meet your need. The one who's done everything at Calvary's cross. There he went, culmination of that life that we read of in Galatians. Come, a woman, come under Lord, he might redeem those under law. It involved that my Saviour went to Calvary's cross, there to suffer. There to take upon himself what was due to you and me. Sometimes use the word substitution. And it's a good word. It means that I should have been there, or you should have been there, but the Lord Jesus went instead. He He was a substitute. And the great wonderful thing about it is that you and I could do nothing ourselves. It says in Scripture that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. No hope at all, friend. But the Lord Jesus has come in that you might have hope. That you might have joy. You might have joy in believing. But you need it. You have to come to a need, friend, in your soul. That you need the Saviour. This woman did. And the remarkable thing about her, in this case, she doesn't say anything at all. She demonstrates, I believe, by her actions that she was repentant. And it's evident from what the Lord Jesus says to that he recognized that. He says, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much, but he to whom little is forgiven loves little. Simon didn't seem to get the benefit of it. He could answer the Lord's question correctly. He says, and the Lord asked him who will love him the most. Simon says, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most. Yes, he could judge that. But I get the impression from what we have here that Simon didn't really get the blessing. This woman did. It says to her, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. What a wonderful message you can have tonight, friend. Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Peace with God, peace in the soul. Knowledge of sins washed away. But more than that, as that scripture we've referred to in Galatians, it says, we're brought into sonship. Something you can enjoy in God's presence. Something that's greater than anything this world can offer. One other reference is in John 4. There's another woman. She had a need. She didn't realize exactly what her need was when she came to that well. All those years ago, she chose a time when nobody else would see her. As I understand it, it was not the normal time to come to the well to draw water. She didn't expect to find anybody else there. She found the Saviour. He came that way for her, you might say. It says that he must needs pass through Samaria. And I think if you look at a map, it wasn't necessarily the most direct route, you know, that journey the Lord Jesus was taking, but he went that way for that woman. And I like to apply that in the way that he's interested in you as an individual. You know, the gospel is very individual. Persons, we read of three different persons, this is the third one, there are three different persons, and they all had a transaction with the Saviour themselves. Mm-hmm. So this woman, she came to the well to draw water. She had a need of water. But she found there someone who could tell her about something that was far greater. He told her about living water. She had a history, a very mixed up history. That's why she was coming when she was. But a change came over her. Change to that woman in Luke 7. She went out of Simon the Pharisee's house totally different. She went out in peace with her sins forgiven. You, my friend, can experience that if you put your faith and trust in the Saviour and that finished work at Calvary that we've referred to. That precious blood that's been shed that can wash away your sins. This woman here, she says when she goes back into the city, after the Lord Jesus has spoken to her and told her such wonderful things, she says, come see a man who told me all things I had ever done. Is not he the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to him. She wasn't afraid to tell them of the one she'd come in contact with. They would have known her, no doubt. What we hear, we read of in the discourse, she would have been a known person in that city. But she goes back and she tells them, come see a man told me all things I'd ever done. Is not he the Christ? That's the Saviour we have to proclaim to you tonight, my friend. The one who, by what the writer says in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. How wonderful. But God has acted in that way in relation to your blessing and mine. A God who dwells in light unapproachable, in whose hand thy breath is, yes indeed, that was said by Daniel to Belshazzar as a warning. Nebuchadnezzar had learnt what it was that the God of the heavens rules. Belshazzar, his grandson, had ignored that, had ignored what Nebuchadnezzar had arrived at. And Daniel says,
God, into whose hand thy breath is.
So the wonderful question is, friend, where are you tonight before God? Consider it for a moment. God has sent forth his Son. Yes. Wonderful divine intervention in the affairs of this world. I might say the most wonderful intervention. Demonstration of God's power was at the cross. There my Saviour suffered. He went that way for me. Did he go that way for you, friend? I trust he did. If not, you can have a full realisation in your soul tonight. It's having a sense of need and that he can meet it fully. He met those need of those three persons that we read of. They went, one of them it says he went in peace. Another one, he went with leprosy cured. Sin settled. Everything settled before God. Peace. And everything settled because of that work at Calvary. You know, you can't do anything yourself. Works would not save you. I think the hymn writer puts it rather well. What could you do for your sins to atone? Think you that God would have spared not his Son if by a creature the work could be done? No, my friend. The reason why the Saviour had to come to do it was because of the sin that's upon you and me. The Lord Jesus was so different. It says quite clearly in Scripture, in him, sin was not. That's why he could bear the judgment of God in relation to sin. You and I couldn't. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, Scripture says. But the Lord Jesus was without sin. He who knew not sin was made sin. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. What a Saviour. One who's gone all the way. Speaking reverently, I believe quite rightly, he did not need to go that way himself. He was without sin. Perfect. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, Peter tells us. But he went into the grave, buried for 3 days and three nights. He was raised again. He was raised for your justification, friend. Scripture tells me that. He's raised for our justification. What a Saviour. Mm. One who's been all the way. Yes, indeed. He's crowned with glory and honour. That you might know something of what that Scripture says that we read. Might know sonship. Yes, you can come into God's presence as sons before his face. How wonderful indeed. God has such a, I can't think of a better word, a wonderful arrangement of blessing for you, friend. Sins forgiven, set up, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and brought into a relationship as sons before him. God's thoughts are wonderful. You know, Scripture says somewhere that his thoughts are greater than our thoughts. If you think about it for a moment, what God has thought about, far beyond anything you and I can even imagine. And yet in wondrous grace, he sent his beloved Son in the fullness of time. I love that expression. It was just at the right moment. Everything was set. Everything was arranged. God had arranged everything. It was all for your blessing, mine. May you accept it. May you have that assurance in your soul tonight, my friend, of that blessing upon yourself. May it be so for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.